So the period of the millennium, or the messianic age, or the spears into plowshares age, or the vine and fig tree age, whenever that is not an age of sinless perfection. And so that's why Micah tells us that during this time, the Messiah is going to have to judge among many people and rebuke strong nations. Now, in your conception, when you answer the question, what is the next event on the Bible prophecy timeline? If you say one of the next events, maybe following the coming of Christ, the second coming, is the messianic age when Jesus reigns from a throne in Jerusalem, do you imagine really that in that day, that there is still going to be Vladimir Putin and Russia and Donald Trump and the United States, or what's his name in North Korea? Or what's his name in Iran? All these violent, warmongering nations are still going to exist in the millennium after the coming, the second coming of Christ, when Satan is bound and not deceiving anybody? Why is it, or when is it, that Jesus, the Messiah, has to rebuke strong nations? When do these nations exist? And when are they strong, and why do they need to be rebuked, and why do they need to be judged? Let's establish the meaning of those words, judge and rebuke, by looking at the way that Hebrew word is used in other places in the Bible. Micah 4:3 says, he shall judge among many people. What does it mean to judge? Well, it means pretty much what we think it means today. It means to look at two parties in a courtroom and say, you're guilty, you're innocent, and then to impose a punishment on the guilty party. What does that mean in terms of many people and strong nations in Micah 4, verse 3? Well, let's look at just the way that word, the word shafat, I'm not a Hebrew expert, I just have a concordance, I just have these, you know, typical Bible study aids. The word is found about 200 times in the Old Testament. Let's just look at the way Ezekiel uses the word. Another prophet, like Micah, speaking 500 years before Christ was born. What does he mean, what does he say when he uses that Hebrew word that Micah uses in chapter 4, verse 3? Ezekiel 7:3. Now, I hope you're like me. I like going through the Bible and looking up verses. I like hearing the verses. So I'm just going to read these verses to you. Get these verses in your mind so that you have a concept in your mind of what it means when in this future age, at least future for Micah, this age, the messianic age, that Jesus is going to be judging between different people. Ezekiel 7, verse 3. Ezekiel 7 has three different times where that Hebrew word shafat is used. Verse 3, now is the end come upon thee, and I will send mine anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense upon thee all thine abominations. Well, that doesn't sound good. One wonders, is there going to be anger, the anger of God in the millennium? And is God going to be judging people for abominations? And if so, how does that make the millennium radically different from today? The second occurrence in Ezekiel 7 is verse 8. I will shortly pour out my fury upon thee and accomplish mine anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways, will recompense thee for all thine abominations. Sort of a repetition of verse 3. Then verse 27, the king shall mourn, the prince shall be clothed with desolation, the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled, I will do unto them after their way, and according to their deserts will I judge them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Well, that's an interesting verse, because the Bible often speaks of a messianic age as an age in which everybody knows the Lord. And some people say, well, we can't be in the messianic age now because not everybody knows the Lord. And knowing there is taken to mean some kind of conversion experience in which people actually worship God. But here, the people who will know that I am the Lord, arguably, are those who are being judged and recompensed for their abominations with the fury and wrath of God upon them. And they know that I am the Lord. They know that the Lord is God because he's destroyed them. Well, that's an interesting verse. The next chapter, Ezekiel 11, has a couple of references, a couple of verses with that Hebrew word for judge. Ezekiel 11:10, yea, ye shall fall by the sword, I will judge you in the border of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Again, there's that same connection between being judged and knowing the Lord. Then the next verse, verse 11, This city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the flesh in the midst thereof, but I will judge you in the border of Israel. Clearly a threat to unbelief and lawlessness. And we wonder, or I wonder, is there unbelief and lawlessness in the millennium? And if so, how does it differ from today? Ezekiel 16:38. This is an ugly verse. I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. The whole chapter, chapter 16 of Ezekiel, is it's not family reading, I guess I could put it that way. Ezekiel 17:20. I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, and will plead with him there for his trespass that he hath trespassed against me. The word plead is the same Hebrew word that's translated elsewhere and so far as judge. In the law, that is, in today's courts of law in the United States, there's a word, a term called pleadings, and that's the paperwork that the two parties bring before the court, their brief, if you will. Plead here, in this sense, you could plead for your client if you're the defense attorney, or you could plead against the defendant if you're the prosecuting attorney. God says, I'm going to plead, and that means he's going to judge, because he's going to set forth the facts that warrant your judgment, your destruction, if you will. Ezekiel 18:30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgression, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Judgment means bringing ruin upon people who need to repent of their transgressions. Now, is this the kind of thing that's going on in your conception of the millennium? Ezekiel 20 has a couple of occurrences in verse 35 and 36. I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. In other words, there I will show you what you have done wrong. I will lay out the indictment and pass the sentence against you. Like as I pleaded, verse 36, that's that same word, judge. As I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And as he pled with his fathers in the wilderness, those were the generation that were destroyed, that were not allowed to enter into the promised land. Ezekiel 21:30, shall I cause it to return into a sheath? What gets returned into a sheath? A sword. I will judge thee in the place where thou wast created, in the land of thy nativity. Judge thee. Doesn't sound good. Ezekiel 22:2, now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. Here, judging is like pleading, showing her abominations, demonstrating the evidence that leads to a conviction and a sentence. Ezekiel 23:24, they shall come against thee with chariots, wagons, and wheels, and with an assembly of people, which shall set against thee the buckler, and the shield, and the helmet round about. I will set judgment before them, and they shall judge thee according to their judgments. That sounds like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 10, in which he talks about God sending the Assyrian army to judge, and in this case it means to destroy Israel. And again, in the same chapter, Ezekiel 23, verse 36, the Lord said moreover to me, son of man, wilt thou judge Ahola and Aholibah? Yea, declare unto them their abominations. In other words, here's the pleading, here's the reason why you're going to be destroyed. Ezekiel 24:14, I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. That's the sword that's being sent to execute God's judgment. Ezekiel 33:20, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you, every one after his ways. In other words, go back up to Bloody City in Ezekiel 22:2. Israel is the Bloody City in many occasions in the Old Testament, and that's why God is sending the Assyrians or the Babylonians to judge them. And God is simply giving Israel what they deserve, almost an eye for an eye kind of a thing. Israel, the bloody city, deserves Assyria, the bloody army. Skip a couple of verses here. Just go to Ezekiel 35:11. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thine anger and according to thine envy, which thou hast used out of thy hatred against them, and I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee. In other words, God is known by the display, the spectacle of judgment and destruction. Ezekiel 36:19, I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them. Ezekiel 38:22, I will plead, there's that word translated plead this time, I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. Well, that's an interesting word. I mean, that phrase indicates that the word plead does not merely mean to show them their transgressions, to declare them, to read the bill of indictment, but to show them their sins by the judgment, that the judgment shows them their sins. You're attacked with pestilence and with blood and with the sword. Well, that's the judgment you deserve because of what you do, what you have done. Your ways of violence are judged with appropriate ways of violence, with appropriate judgment of violence. But the whole verse reads, I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Fire and brimstone. Ezekiel 44:24, and in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes and all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. That's the way it should be, and that, I maintain, is what we should be doing today. We should judge the nations according to God's judgments. We should keep God's laws, and we should speak to the nations in terms of God's word and render judgments, make the pleading, make the declaration. Ezekiel's told several times, declare their sins. And that's how God judges. God judges by our faithful preaching and by the visible demonstration of his judgments when they reject the preaching and continue in their sins and judgment comes upon them. So Micah says in someday in the future, Micah's future, he, the Messiah, will judge among many people. And that has to do with declaring sin and judging sin, passing sentence and destroying the evildoers. Does that take place in the millennium after Jesus comes a second time? I mean, isn't that the world of unrestrained joy and blessing and no more tears and no more sadness? Let's face it, it's a sad thing, or it should be considered a sad thing from one perspective. It's a good thing when God is vindicated. It's a good word. It's a good thing when his word is shown to be true. But on the other hand, if God judges the United States, we're going to be part of, we're going to feel the effects of that. If God judges China, and at this point, it's a debatable proposition whether China is worse than the United States or the United States is worse than China. But in the past, China was always, it was always Red China and Communist China, and it was a very bad place. Mao Zedong murdered 76 million Chinese during his years of great revolution and great leap forward and whatever else he called his socialist disasters. Millions of people and communist tyranny, that's bad. It deserves to be destroyed. Maybe in some sense Mao has already been destroyed, and maybe in some sense communism is being destroyed. Christianity is thriving. But if China were destroyed in a much more spectacular and evident judgment, which maybe at this point it doesn't deserve as much as the United States, but I keep digressing, I keep qualifying. If China were destroyed, were judged today, let's say they were building a nuclear bomb and it accidentally discharged and destroyed their economy. Well, we would feel that punishment as well. The destruction of the Chinese economy would have a ripple effect around the world, and it would cause consequences that you and I would feel, painful consequences. So we could be sad at that kind of a judgment. But in some people's minds, after Jesus comes, there will be no more sadness and no more tears. Well, people do have tears when their nation is destroyed. And if God is judging, if God is engaged in judgment, well, there will be tears. And so it's our assignment. Our homework assignment is to understand all these verses and to reconcile them.